Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on the second day of October 2019. And I'm very delighted to have back as a returning guest, Brad K. Zell. And if you're looking up his name on the internet, it's actually spelled G-S-E-L-L, and the G is silent, Brad K. Zell. And he is the author of The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error, in the Evangelical Church. He is also the new minister of outreach at the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina. He is the president of the International Council of Christian Churches and of the Independent Board of Presbyterian Foreign Missions. He is the editor of Redeeming the Time magazine, and he is our guest today to discuss the theme, the Christian and social media, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Brad K. Zell.
Good to be with you, Chris.
I'm going to give our listeners our email address right now in the event that they want to join us with any questions of their own. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. First of all, why don't you let our listeners know about the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, the Bible Presbyterian Church is a member of Faith Presbytery, Bible Presbyterian Church, and it was founded in 1966, so we're in our 53rd year, and I have been here for the last 32 years.
And can you tell us some of the distinctives of the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina? I know that there is a denomination that Carl McIntyre founded by that name, and I know that some of our listeners, especially those that are outside of the Reformed faith, they immediately may think of Presbyterianism as being equivalent with liberalism or even apostasy, and I know that is certainly not the case with the congregation where you serve as the Minister of Outreach. So why don't you tell us some of the distinctives of this congregation?
Sure. The Bible Presbyterian denomination started in 1937, and the first synod was in 1938, and it was a response to the liberalism that had come into the Presbyterian Church USA, where the grand doctrines of Scripture were described as mere theories that other people, different people, could have different views on, and the authority of the Scripture had been decimated in the General Assembly in 1927, and so the Bible Presbyterian Church sought to be exactly what its name describes, in that it the Bible was God's Word, the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God that we must abide by. Christianity is not from man's emotions and feelings, but it's rooted in what the Word of God teaches. And the Bible Presbyterian Church is a Reformed group in that it believes in the great doctrines of the sovereignty of God, and we stand in separation against liberalism and compromise.
Well, praise God for that. And if anybody wants to look up more information about the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina, is the best way to find you on Facebook?
I think so, yes. That would be good. And Dr. McIntyre's church that he was pastor of for over 65 years is a part of our presbytery.
Oh, wow. And tell us about the International Council of Christian Churches.
Okay, in 1948, the International Council of Christian Churches was formed in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, very close to the time that the World Council of Churches was formed. And the ICCC was all Bible-believing denominations from all around the world. On the ICC level, there's a recognition that there are Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterians and other groups that love the Lord. There's no attempt to merge or to try to do away with the doctrinal distinctives. We're a multi-denominational organization, and the Presbyterians hold firmly to their Presbyterian beliefs, and other groups do as well. And we're having our 20th World Congress in Puerto Montt, Chile, in January 2020, and we'll have people there from all of the inhabited continents.
Now, why did you choose that location?
Well, the ICCC is very strong in Chile. It's a very beautiful location, and we had a local planning committee of 14 pastors that were willing to do the groundwork, and so that was where we ended up deciding. The last Congress was in Mexico, and previous to that was Brazil and the Philippines and Korea, and so we've met in many locations all over the world.
Well, now you can tell us, if you would, something about the Independent Board of Presbyterian Foreign Missions.
Okay, the Independent Board started 5 years before the Bible Presbyterian denomination started. Dr. J. Gresham Machen, who was a professor of New Testament at Princeton Theological Seminary, became alarmed when the missionaries under the Presbyterian Church were teaching false doctrine. They had disbelief in many of the Bible doctrines, and some were even promoting communism in China and other places. And Dr. Machen, with other men, prayerfully decided to start the independent board. They were soon put out of the Presbyterian Church, and the independent boards had hundreds of missionaries over these 86 years, I guess.
Yeah, that was one of the primary things that also led to the founding of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church under Dr. Machen.
Correct, yes. And Dr. Machen sadly went to be with the Lord at a very early age. I believe he was about 55 or 56. But, of course, it's all in the providence of God. But he definitely left a mark on the Orthodox Presbyterian, the Bible Presbyterian, and a number of other conservative Reformed groups.
Yeah, and for the life of me, I know this is a very famous name, and it's I'm racking my brains, but there was one specific female missionary in China that was the catalyst to Dr. Machen's protests. And
Correct, Pearl S. Buck.
That's it. I don't know why I couldn't remember that, but Well, it's probably better that I forget it, I guess, huh?
Well, yes. And Dr. Machen was even respected by those who considered him an enemy. In fact, when he died, Pearl S. Buck spoke of his grand scholarship and his belief in the Bible, even though she didn't agree with him.
Wow, that was big of her.
Yeah, and I think Casper Wister Hodge, who was Charles Hodge's grandson, described Dr. Machen as the greatest living theologian in the English-speaking world at the time.
Yes, well, actually, I know that Dr. Machen and other figures from church history are going to be the subject of discussion at an upcoming conference that's being held right in my neck of the woods in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at Faith Chapel here in Carlisle. And this is a conference of the American Council of Christian Churches. It's going to be held the 22nd through the 24th of October, so that will be just in a couple of weeks. And I am looking forward to being there myself, God willing. I have already registered and intend to be there. It's the 78th annual convention of the American Council of Christian Churches, and the theme is Biblical Fundamentalism, Pursuing Purity. If you could tell us something more about that conference, and also about your specific involvement in it.
Okay. The American Council of Christian Churches was started in 1941 in New York City, and it has stood faithfully through the years for the Bible, and like the International Council, it's composed of Bible-believing denominations in the United States and Canada. I've been on the executive committee for over 25 years, and I've been very happy to work with some blessed men of God who love the Lord and who work that we can have united fellowship around the Word of God. I'm to speak this time. They have a series of breakout sessions on how our fathers ministered, and they have a number of famous fundamentalists that will be discussed, and I've been assigned the Dr. Carl McIntyre to give some personal insight into how he ministered.
Yeah, the thing that's I find very interesting about this gathering and this conference is that very often, In fact, I have many friends who would consider themselves fundamentalists and fundamentalist pastors, and among them are people who are so dedicated to the idea of the independence and autonomy of the local church that they don't believe in any kind of associations. So this would make your group that you have fellowship, with whom you have fellowship, somewhat different, although I know that you believe in a level of biblical separation, and of course there are varying degrees of how fundamentalists, self-identified fundamentalists, have viewed that, and different levels of severity and so on. But the thing that's also interesting about this gathering is that it is very biblically ecumenical, and I know that the word ecumenical is a nasty, horrible word amongst many fundamentalists, but I don't mean modern ecumenism, where you're linking arms with apostates and people who have a different gospel and so forth. But these are the ministers at this conference who are speaking, who come from not only Presbyterian backgrounds and Baptist backgrounds and Calvinist backgrounds and Arminian backgrounds and Methodist backgrounds, and of course I'm speaking about Evangelical Methodists. So if you could comment on that.
Yes, the whole idea of the American Council and the International Council is that God has his elect in every nation, and we in no way diminish the importance of doctrine. One of the things that Dr. Machen cried against the loudest was the indifferentism, that it doesn't really matter. Well, we all believe it. It definitely does matter, but we also must have a degree of humility in that many Bible believers will be in heaven, and we may all learn some corrections to our theology. The idea of autonomy, the American Council doesn't get into local church situations or even denominational situations unless it should become obvious that there were some real doctrinal or ethical problems. Any problems in a denomination stay in that and must be corrected there. But even the many Baptists are strong on the autonomy of the local church, as are Congregationalists, but there's many that also recognize that Christianity goes far beyond their local church, and we're thankful for that.
Well, I want to just list some of the themes that are going to be addressed to whet the appetites of some of our listeners who may want to travel to Carlisle, and they may already be in Carlisle to attend this conference. We have such themes as the Battle Royale, Biblical Fundamentalism. Reverend Dan Greenfield is going to be addressing that title or theme. And the another theme is Knowing Our History, Biblical Fundamentalism's Past, with Dr. Kevin Hobie. How do you pronounce his name?
Hobie.
And Has the Battle Ended? Biblical Fundamentalism's Present and Future. Sorry. Dr. Chick Deer will be speaking on that. And there are some other sessions as well, including breakout sessions that address some of the primary figures in 20th century fundamentalism. You already mentioned a couple, and we have Bob Jones Sr. being addressed by Jonathan Peters, Bob Jones Jr. by John Mark Turner. Carl McIntyre, who we mentioned before, is somebody that you are going to be highlighting in your discussion. Robert T. Ketchum is going to be discussing Dan Greenfield. And, oh, I'm sorry, the vice versa.
Yeah.
We have, I was just looking at it. Ronald Cook is going to be highlighting Ian Paisley, very controversial figure. And the aforementioned J. Gresham Machen is going to be addressed by Paul Elliott. W.B. Riley is going to be addressed by, once again, Kevin Hobie. And we have William and John Ashbrook going to be highlighted by Stephen Spence. And Don McKnight is going to be addressed by his son, John McKnight, who's actually going to be my guest. John is going to be my guest just in about 2 weeks on the 18th of October, Friday the 18th. And we have Ralph, is it Cologne?
Colas.
Colas, I'm sorry. By, once again, Dr. Chick Deer is going to be addressing that figure. Well, if anybody wants more details on this conference, which is going to be held, as I said, from Tuesday, the 22nd of October, through Thursday, the 24th of October, you can go to their website at accccthenumber4truth.org. That's accccthenumber4truth.org, and then /2019-convention. accccthenumber4truth.org/2019-convention. So I am looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to learning and meeting new friends and getting reacquainted with old friends and having a good time of fellowship there. Anything else that you think their listeners should know about in regard to this convention?
Well, I would invite anyone who's able to come, even if you can't come for the whole convention. Most of the meetings are 45 minutes to an hour long, and it's right off of Interstate 81 in southern Pennsylvania.
Great. Well, I'm hoping to meet some Iron Trip and Zion radio listeners there as well. Okay, we're going to be addressing something that is very important in the 21st century, and it's a lot more important than people might think, because very often Christians, even very well-seasoned, God-honoring Christians with excellent reputations for morality and just being known for being steadfastly adhering to the inerrant scriptures, even those who are the best among us have failed when it comes to preserving a godly testimony when on the internet, when especially when we get into disputes with people with whom we disagree. Of course, I have never done that. I have always kept my cool. I've always remained calm. And I never have had any kind of an outburst that would be embarrassing. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. I have, unfortunately, I've been guilty of tainting my testimony by getting overly angry. Of course, there's nothing wrong with righteous indignation, but we can take that to an extreme where our pride becomes a prominent thing in our reaction to someone who with whom we disagree. But what was the catalyst to you writing this excellent article? In fact, before I even go to the article, I forgot to mention that you're the editor of Redeeming the Time magazine. Tell us about that.
Well, we praise the Lord. We started in 2009, and we thought that we would maybe just have a little four-page black-and-white newsletter, and one of our pastors said, trust the Lord, and so we have a 16-page quarterly newsletter that's in full color, and the Lord has used it in many ways, and we're on our 11th year, and we seek to encourage God's people, give messages from the Word of God, apply the Scriptures to issues of our time, and it's been well received.
Yeah, so tell us about the catalyst behind your writing a word fitly spoken, the Christian social media, an excellent article in this latest edition of your magazine, Redeeming the Time.
Well, Chris, I might have a little bit of what you talked about and needed to remind myself, and so I began thinking more and more about how important it is for all of us to be careful. I have some dear friends who are on the other side of the spectrum on many issues than I am, and don't shy from giving what I believe is the truth of the Word of God, but yet I need to treat them as a Christian should treat his brothers and even those who aren't.
Yeah, the invention of the internet. I think Al Gore invented it, didn't he?
Oh, okay.
I'm only kidding. Obviously, he believed he did. Well, at least he promoted that lie. The internet is a gift from God because it enables the spread of the gospel and other vital truths in lightning speed and to a larger audience instantly than has ever been possible in our past. And of course, it's not only the gospel and the truths of the scripture that have blessed humanity through the internet, but also just other things that are factual and valuable for people to know. But of course, just like every other wonderful blessing and gift from God, even the printing press, starting back then, this has been corrupted by Satan and has been used as a tool in his hands to not only spread horrific pornographic things and heresies and all kinds of destructive and harmful material. But we who are Christians, unless we are Amish, we typically like to take advantage of these blessings, even though they are used in evil ways as well as good. And there is something unique about this, that it sometimes brings out the worst in us because we are sitting in our own homes in the safety of a locked room, perhaps, and we are perhaps reaching levels of bravado that we otherwise would not have reached as we sit behind our keyboards. And when somebody insults us, or we think they've insulted us, we have this instant recall on the internet and get our fingers busy on keyboards and can type the nastiest things that come to our mind. This is something that is, the human race has never seen anything quite like the internet in the global scope of how these things can occur and how we can become globally known for good or for bad, depending upon what we are producing or what people are saying about us, whether true or false. So I think that this is a very valuable discussion we are having and a very valuable article that you have written. First of all, when we are sitting behind our keyboards and we want to expose something that we believe, we might even believe it's our duty to expose some kind of a falsehood, some kind of a heretical preacher, teacher, or even somebody who has rightly earned a wonderful reputation as a minister of the gospel or an author or a teacher, but there is something that that has developed in their teaching that we have to, or we believe we have to, bring attention to. The first thing that you rightly put in this article is that you should make sure, or you must make sure, that you have your facts right. Because if we don't have our facts right, no matter how minor we may think our error is, especially since potentially millions of people could be seeing and reading what we're writing, we have violated one of God's commandments in the Decalogue. We have violated the sin, not violated the command, I should say, not to bear false witness. If you could continue on that theme of make sure you get your facts right.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is that people get their facts, in quotes, from the secular media. And frankly, Chris, I can't believe anything I hear without checking it anymore, because right. There's so much untruth, and not just mistaken untruth, but purposeful lies that are being put out by the media. And so we have to be careful. If we only listen to one station with a particular bent, they're only presenting one thing. If I'm told that somebody said this terrible thing, I go back on the internet and read their speech and get that in context, and often you'll find, wow, that's not what they meant at all. And so we have ways like never before. It used to be, if I needed to do research, I'd have to go to a library or even travel great distances to a particular library that had certain things. Now we can look up so much on the internet, and we have to make sure of our sources, but we need to look for primary sources, not what somebody said that somebody else said, but see what they actually said themselves. And that's a very good starting point to keep yourself out of trouble.
Yeah, and don't you think we have to be very careful that we should be minding our own business? Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and we somehow think that we need to tell the world about something that we have discovered that might not even be our business, and we may even rush to judgment before the dust settles and all of the facts come out. Isn't that a very important thing, or two important things, actually, that not everything is our business to be telling the world about, and not everything that appears to be factual truly is, because sometimes we are rushing to spread the word about something, and it turns out that we've got a lot of things wrong.
That's correct, and we need to make sure that we're not more willing to be quick and sloppy with our facts on somebody we disagree with their point of view than we are with covering up for somebody who we may agree with many things on, but yet there's things that they also are not doing correctly.
And we have to go to our first break right now. And once again, if you want to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Brad Zell and our discussion on the Christian and social media.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Kosti Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Kosti has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. 9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website. historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Brad Zell, and we are discussing the Christian and social media. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Now, this is closely connected to the first point we made earlier. Make sure you don't selectively choose facts to support your ideas, if you could continue.
Okay, there's many things that we can see on the news and even on social media where somebody will bring out an isolated fact, and it may even be the truth, but it's not in the context. I could say that Chris Arnzen hangs out with bank robbers, but I failed to tell the fact that he has a ministry in the jail. And so we can see that over and over again on the on the news. And so we need to be sure that even the facts we give are given in the proper context so that they really tell the truth.
Amen. And this is a huge issue. This is something that is a part of the rules that I always establish whenever I have orchestrated a live public moderated debate. I have orchestrated dozens of public debates on theology, all kinds of debates between Bible-believing Christians and Roman Catholics, and Bible-believing Christians and liberals and atheists and advocates of homosexuality and those in other religions such as Islam and in organizations that we would identify as cults like Oneness, Pentecostalism, and so on. And one of the rules is that there are to be no ad hominem remarks in the debate. And in fact, if a person, if a debater begins to use ad hominem remarks, like you're an idiot, you're a jerk, whatever you might want to include as an ad hominem remark, that is a sign that you're losing a debate. If your ammunition, if your evidence that you have gathered to defend your position or to refute your opponent's position has run out of steam, that's a telltale sign that you're actually losing it. You're spiraling down into an embarrassing defeat of some kind. But if you could, tell us about that.
Well, when we're dealing with issues, it doesn't matter who presents truth. We don't discredit the truth by saying that, well, he filed for bankruptcy, and when he was a teenager, he was on drugs and pull up all kinds of things like that. That's not the issue. The issue is, what is truth? And so we need to be very careful to respect people, and exactly what Chris just said, that's a telltale sign if you resort to that, that you don't really have the argument on your side.
Now, we have a listener in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Harrison, who asks, could it not be said of our Lord, God, Savior, and King Christ Jesus that he used ad hominem remarks with the Pharisees by calling them such things as a brood of vipers and hypocrites and whitewashed sepulchres filled with dead men's bones? Why is that not out of place for the God-man, and it is out of place for us when we are interacting with those with whom we disagree, especially when the level of disagreement is very serious?
Well, I think Christ was really expressing there's nothing wrong with being strong and bold when you're proclaiming the truth. The main thing is that we don't use those things to try to discredit the facts, and Christ wasn't doing that. He told the Pharisees in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is the father of lies. And those things are very strong statements, but yet they were the truth.
And of course, there are unique circumstances when such things are called for, and you also have on top of that, that the perfect God-man had the right and privilege to say and do things that we might not necessarily have the freedom to do, or the right
That's
to
correct.
Do. I'm not saying that we don't have the right to make such charges against false teachers and either spiritually or even physically dangerous people. But when we are interacting in public with those whose disagreements that we have are not as severe as what the Pharisees were doing and saying and teaching, and we have a global audience watching what we say, there are different approaches that I think that we are called to take. It would be one thing, for instance, if you had some very evil person that you're communicating with that is like advocating pedophilia or something, you would have the right to say very bold things that are truthful, but at the same time, most of our interaction, I don't think, that we have on the internet is of that level of severity.
I agree, and if we were talking about Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot or Mao, we would understate if we just said, well, I didn't agree with some of the bad things they did. These were murderers on a grand scale, and there's nothing wrong with boldly condemning that. And you're right, Christ certainly had the prerogative to say things that we don't. Romans 12 says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's not up to us to repay, but God has that right to do that.
All right, here's something that you bring up that I think is very important. Refuse to display items containing profanity or which take God's name in vain. For instance, I know where you're coming from here, where I have seen folks do this, Christians who themselves would be very opposed to profanity and pornography and other things that are an abomination to God. And yet they will, in the guise or under the guise of exposing someone for evil, they will say, see, look at this that this person wrote, or this photograph that this person put on their website, or what have you. And you're really helping to pass on things that have visual images and even words that can become embedded in the psyche of the people who are looking at it.
Yes, that's for sure. And even on another level, where there might be a meme or something that states a pretty clear truth about a political issue or whatever, and then that the person that did it will use foul language or use God's name in vain, even if I agree with the central point that's being made, I'll never share it because I'm not going to pass that language and so forth along.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we have during the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, they require of us a longer break in the middle of the show because by FCC regulations, they have to localize Iron Sharpened Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, and air their own announcements. So please, first of all, I thank you for your patience as we take this longer than normal break. But please use this time wisely. Not only write down questions for our guest, Brad Zell, but also write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. And remember, if you love this show, try to patronize our advertisers as much as you can, because that will further ensure that they remain our advertisers, especially when you tell them that you heard about them from Iron Sharpened Iron Radio. But also remember that we cannot exist without the financial support of our advertisers. So try to patronize them as much as you can, and writing down their information will obviously help further ensure that you are will be able to more frequently and successfully do that. And that email address again, to send in a question to Brad Zell, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Brad Zell and more of our discussion on the Christian and social media. Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight
for me. So tons of stuff going on, yeah. Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Do Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, every time you purchase a book from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, because Solid Ground Christian Books is one of our primary sponsors. In fact, they tripled their advertising budget with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio since they began advertising with us, since we relaunched in 2015 from our new home here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And they tripled their advertising budget, not only because they love the show and want to keep it on the air, but also because you, the listeners, have been wonderful in purchasing books from them. And they are so pleased and so grateful to you for all the books that you've been purchasing and all the many listeners in our audience who have been purchasing them. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that. If you have not yet purchased books from solid-ground-books.com, I urge you to go to that website, solid-ground-books.com, and order as many books as you can afford, not only for your own personal edification and the restocking of your library, but also to help others discover the truths of Holy Scripture through great and gifted men of God from both the past and the present, who have written treasures that everyone should have in their possession that lead to a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ and his gospel. So please go to solid-ground-books.com as often as you can, and always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. Before I return to our discussion with Brad Zell, we just have a few announcements to make regarding upcoming events that I hope you attend if you can. First of all, Dr. Dustin Benj, who is a senior fellow and the administrative research assistant at the Andrew Fuller Center for Baptist Studies. He is going to be speaking this weekend at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And this is on the theme, God is Still Speaking, the Bible's Continued Relevance, Authority, and Sufficiency. That is Saturday and Sunday, October 5th and October 6th at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. If you want more details on this conference, go to GraceBFC, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. That's GraceBFC.com/conference. Also, don't forget about the event that we've been discussing that my guest today, Brad Zell, will be a part of on the speaking roster, and that is the upcoming American Council of Christian Churches 2019 convention at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that's going to be held from October 22nd through the 24th, and if you want more details on that conference, go to ACCC, the number 4, truth.org. That's ACCC, the number 4, truth.org/2019-convention. You'll have all the details that you need to participate in that event. Then coming up in December, I am looking forward to packing up my bags and heading back to my old stomping grounds in New York City to the Foundations Conference. The Foundations Conference has become one of my favorite conferences, and they always have remarkable speakers there. What better time of year to be in New York City than during the Christmas season, or perhaps even better put, what better place on the planet Earth to be for at least a part of the Christmas season than New York City? I just love being in New York City during the Christmas season, and Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, will certainly be in the heart of the Christmas season in Manhattan. The Foundations Conference is a conference of sermon audio, so you are going to be assured that the finest in biblical preaching will be heard there. This, by the way, is only for men in ministry leadership because the venue is very small. They can only fit less than 200 people at this event. So if you are a man in ministry leadership, I hope that you register and join me there. Speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Colwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. And I have a strong feeling that the speakers at the upcoming conference at Faith Chapel in Carlisle may know some of these men because there are men from the Free Presbyterian Church in North America on this roster who are speaking. And I know that some of the men also at Faith Chapel happen to be from that denomination. If you want to join me there at the Foundations Conference in New York City, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And then, coming up in January, I'm packing up my bags again, and I'm going to be heading down south this time to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, to the Georgia International Convention Center, where they are holding, once again, the G3 conference. I just love this conference more than I can describe in the English language. The G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, they draw a crowd of over 5,000 people there every year. And it's not because they are tickling people's ears. It's not because they are involved in seeker-sensitive nonsense. It's because they have truly gifted and powerful preachers of the gospel, preaching and declaring the undiluted truth of the inerrant scriptures there. Some of the most gifted men on the planet Earth are on this roster. They always have a huge roster, and the roster is not only huge numerically, but it is also deep in the gifts that these men possess. Stephen J. Lawson's on the roster at this conference as well. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Derek Thomas, a globally known and highly respected Presbyterian preacher, teacher, and author and pastor, Dr. Tom Askell, who is the Calvinistic, or should I say the executive director of the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention, known as the Founders Conference or Founders Ministries, Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. He's on the roster as well. My friend Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. Costi Hinn, who is the nephew, believe it or not, of the notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn. And Costi does not mind me saying that, because Costi has renounced and repented of the Word of Faith heresies that he was raised in, and he is now a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist. You heard earlier Dr. James R. White, in his ad promoting the conference, say that he is pastoring in California. Well, he just recently accepted a position on the pastoral team at a church in Arizona. So that is a update on Costi, but he is a phenomenal brother, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and hearing him speak. There's many more on the roster, but John MacArthur, as you may have also heard, has been added to the roster, and I would go to this conference if he was there speaking alone. He is one of my all-time favorite heroes of the Christian faith of the 21st century, and I so much look forward to seeing him and hearing him preach in person. I've interviewed Dr. MacArthur on the show, but I've never met him in person, and I've never been in the same room when he's preaching, so I'm looking forward to that. If you want to join me there, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com to register. And remember, if you have a business or a parachurch organization or an event that you want to promote, anything that you want to promote to a very large number of people, I would strongly urge you not only to register to attend the G3 conference, but register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning for the fourth year in a row there. I always have something extraordinary happen that I praise God for after manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio at the G3 conference. So before they run out of room, they're going to run out of room for exhibitor's booths a lot faster than they would ever run out of room for attendees. So register not only to attend, but also for an exhibitor's booth if that is appropriate for you by going to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. They, as I said, typically have over 5,000 people there every year. I think with the addition of John MacArthur on the roster, they're going to have over 6,000 people. So that's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love my show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that, or you can send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that will appear on your screen by clicking support at ironsharpensironradio.com. We ask of you, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those are two things that are commands of God. Supporting my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you have extra money lying around collecting interest, extra money for recreational purposes, for sporting events, for candy, coffee, ice cream, whatever it is that you have extra money for, please dedicate some of that money. If you love this show, dedicate some of that money to help Iron Trip and Zion Radio remain on the air. Go to ironshipandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, I'd be more than thrilled to help you launch an ad campaign with us, because we really do urgently need your advertising dollars. You don't have to believe identically with me, but need to be promoting something that is least compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And remember, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you find a church near you, God willing. So if you're having trouble finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line, whether it's to join the church if it's near you, or whether you're looking for a church while you're vacationing, or you're looking for a church for family, friends, and loved ones who do not have a Bible-believing church where they are a member. Please send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Brad Zell on the Christian and social media, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we are now back with Brad. And by the way, I forgot to mention to you, or ask you, I should say, biblical fundamentalism pursuing purity is the theme of the convention here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania at Faith Chapel. Tell us exactly what is meant by that theme, biblical fundamentalism pursuing purity.
Yes, the word fundamentalism in recent decades has gotten a black eye. I think it was purposely done by the press when they called Islamic terrorists fundamentalists. The term developed back in the 1910s with the publication of a series of books called The Fundamentals, and it included some of the finest Christian scholars of the time, such as Warfield and others from Princeton Seminary and others from other denominations, which was standing for the doctrines of the Word of God and against the modernism which had come in, which denied those things. So the American Council continues in that tradition of Bible-believing Christianity. And the subject of pursuing purity, the Bible teaches us that God is holy, and be ye holy as I am holy. And so that is a command from God, and so purity is connected with holiness, and so that is what is being talked about there.
And just to remind you once again, the website is accc4truth.org/2019-convention, accc4truth.org/2019-convention. The next issue under the Christian and social media is avoiding speculation and conspiracy theories. If you could talk a bit about that.
Well, we have to be careful not to put 2 + 2 together and come up with 5. we can take facts and, oh, I bet this is why he's doing this. And it may be, but we shouldn't state that unless we have proof of that. And so we should just deal, there's plenty to deal with just with the facts that are available without going beyond that.
Now this next word of counsel that you offer is really at the root of a lot of the negative things and sinful things that we sometimes tragically are guilty of when it comes to interaction with others who disagree with us, and perhaps particularly on the internet. Avoid undue emotion and stick with that which is biblical. Our emotions, if we could remain calm and we can remain collected and peaceful and not let our blood boil, we would probably be prevented from doing a lot of and saying a lot of and writing a lot of foolish things.
That's correct. We shouldn't take things personally. We may be frustrated when we see someone's argumentation, which we can see is faulty, but yet we shouldn't. We should remain calm and rational. Also involved in that is many arguments are false because they're based upon emotion. I have some friends who in recent years have really been in favor of socialism because we have all these poor people, and so what's wrong if the government takes money from people that have more and give it to those in need? Well, of course, the Bible teaches that believers are to help those in need, but the Bible also teaches the right to private property, and nowhere does it teach that the government has the right to come in and steal money out of your pocket to give to something that they consider more worthy.
Yes, the biblical examples that we have in Acts and other places where Christians are being benevolent, this is not something being forced upon them. They are voluntarily doing this out of grace and kindness and out of the love of Jesus Christ and their fellow man.
Right. Well, I can't think of the exact reference. I think it's in Acts, maybe 16, but where the phrase that we're all familiar with, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and the statement right before that talks about the value of labor, and then that our labor should be to take care of our families, but also to give to those in need, and so that's the whole concept. But even the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, presupposes the right to individual property. And so we must balance what the scriptures state, and we should be advocating, giving ourselves personally and advocating for other believers to give, but not deciding that we know better what should be done with someone else's money.
Right. Be ye kind one to another. In declaring truth, obviously a very crucial aspect of all of this that would be a roadblock very often to our own sinful speech.
Yes, and that biblical teaching will never let you down. It doesn't mean that you're to be a milquetoast or to cower away from the truth or not want to get involved, but what it means is that I believe Paul tells us that if any man have a quarrel, even as Christ forgave you, so also forgive ye. And so when we consider what all Christ did for us who were vile, rotten, guilty sinners, if we don't have that attitude of humility and love for our brethren, then there's something that's wrong there.
We have a listener. We have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, in the scriptures we find Jesus Christ being far more stern with those who are religious leaders who are teaching falsehoods or who are denying the faith they claim to be true by their actions. You see Jesus reaching out to those who are scandalous sinners, such as prostitutes and others, in a far more compassionate way. Do you think that we should also imitate that practice when we are dealing with people who are lost? We should perhaps be more compassionate in our words, even if they are quite vividly evil. And at the same time, when we are confronted with those that are denying the truths of the gospel and who are attacking the deity of Christ and pillars of the faith, we perhaps have more liberty to be stern with them.
Yes, well, particularly coming from a Reformed position, no man is saved except by the work of the Spirit of God in his heart. God is the one that regenerates. Ephesians chapter 2:1 says that you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and so we were totally dead, and so you can't expect the man that is dead to live and act like a Christian, but the wonderful Spirit of God will reach down, and God knows those who are the elect and does that work. The religious leaders are guilty of the ones that are teaching false doctrine and living unethical lives and so forth are a very serious threat to the sheep and to the whole testimony of the gospel of God. And so Christ does call the Pharisees whited sepulchers and wolves in sheep's clothing. Jude, the verse 3 is the theme verse of the American Council of Christian Churches, that we should earnestly contend for the faith, and it says that, and certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, changing the truth of our God into lasciviousness. And so, yes, we certainly are to love our brethren and to be long-suffering and forbearing, and none of us is perfect, and we should work with our brethren. But when there's men that teach heresy and live lives which are a scandal to the gospel, we should stand strongly against that.
Well, going back to your warning against ad hominem, even when we are dealing with false teachers, especially if they are demonstrating restraint and they are remaining cordial, even though we are not to candy coat their errors. For instance, I have dear friends who are Roman Catholic. I was a Roman Catholic until the Lord rescued me out of that false religious system. And when I have conversations with them, I try to remind myself not to delve into unnecessary mockery and name-calling, to reach out to them with the compassion of wanting to see them rescued out of this false system, because, to be perfectly honest, and I'm sure that you would probably agree to this, and I'm sure that every fundamentalist who despises the false teachings of Rome, we all know people who are Roman Catholics that are more pleasant to be around than some of our brethren in Christ.
That's for sure.
Yes, and we don't need to add an offense on top of the gospel, which already offends those who oppose the gospel. We don't need to be more offensive than the truth is.
Well, that's correct. And again, we get back to the thing where being circumspect and respectful in no way means that you're compromising your beliefs. And some people might put the two together, but I think it's often been said that, going back to Jude 3, that we're to contend for the faith, but we're not to be contentious.
So. Right, and there are Christians out there who upset me because they seem to think that mocking and insulting and pouring hate upon Muslims is appropriate because of the fact that we have all become aware of some of the atrocities that have been committed, acts of terror and so on, in the name of Islam. But I think we bear false witness when we broad brush every Muslim as if they are all equally guilty of these atrocities, and we claim to know their minds and hearts and claim to be certain they're in agreement with these terrorist acts. I think that we have to be very careful, but there have been Muslims who have been won to Christ because of the love and compassion that has been poured upon them by Christians, not because they have been vilified. Of course, never again candy-coating the damning errors of Islam, but at the same time, we have to be loving ambassadors, don't we?
That's correct, and it gets back again to being accurate in your facts. There are Muslims that would never dream of doing a terrorist act, and I pray for them, pray for their souls, but I'm not going to broad brush that all Muslims are terrorists. That would be not really, that would not be telling the truth. And we send missionaries to Muslim lands and Hindu lands and so forth. So look at the opportunity we have to witness right here in our country. And it's interesting. I have done some study in American history, and I'm from North Carolina. And when the convention met to discuss joining the Union back in the days after the Revolution, they even mentioned in there that there should be religious liberty for Muslims. And of course, at the time, they didn't think that their influence would harm the principles of liberty. That is in our history.
Yes. And that just reminds me to plug a book written by a friend of mine, Dave Dykstra, pastoring in Texas right now. He wrote a book called Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. An excellent book that he has written, Yearning to Breathe Free, coming from the Ezra Lazarus poem that is etched at the base of the Statue of Liberty. And basically his premise is that America is not just to allow anybody who wants to be here to cross our borders and find a home here, that there are people who, even before arriving on our shores, hate what we have stood for, as at least what the Founding Fathers stood for, and that we should not jeopardize the lives of our citizens by letting anybody who wants to come here arrive.
Yes, and that's, I think there's a lot of common sense that's gone out the window. If you call for any restraint on immigration, then you're a hater. But in all truth, the people coming here should be coming because they want to be coming to America and stand for its principles. We don't want those that hate our country to freely come.
Amen. We have to go to our final break right now. It's a lot more brief than the last one. If you intend to send in a question, please do so quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away, God willing. We'll be right back after these messages with our final segment of today's discussion with Brad Zell on the Christian and social media.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merritt, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states
He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease. Shop at your leisure and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Dalcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
And don't forget, folks, to continue praying for my dear friend Joe Jackowitz, the founder and president of FirstLoveRadio.org, and also the founder of First Love Missions and First Love Publications. Joe, as many of you know who have been listening to this show regularly, was recently diagnosed with a very aggressive and deadly form of leukemia, and he was given a frightening prognosis of having only a 40 to 60% chance of survival. But praise be to God, he went home 2 weeks early from the hospital. They ended his chemo and radiation treatments early and sent him home because they believe he is in remission. And the chief physician involved in his care, who is an expert on this type of leukemia, has been astonished by this. He is a Jewish physician, and Joe has been evangelizing him and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. He is absolutely astonished and said that he had never seen a patient with this form of leukemia recover so quickly and go into remission so quickly. So we ask you to pray for Joe as he continues to proclaim this amazing gift from God, this healing that he has received from God to all that he knows, and also pray that the remission remains a remission or even a complete and certain healing, and that the cancer does not return, because as many of you know, very often when someone goes into remission, tragically, the cancer can come back with a vengeance. Please pray that that is not the case with Joe Jackowitz. And please go to firstloveradio.org and contact Joe Jackowitz just to extend to him your love and your praises to God that he has been seemingly healed, and that you reassure him that you're going to continue to pray for him. And he is such a blessing in my life, and firstloveradio.org airs this program via live streaming every day, so I thank God for Joe. And you should thank God for Joe, too, if indeed you love this show. We are now back with our guest for our final segment, our guest Brad Zell, and we are talking about the Christian and social media, and we have an anonymous questioner on the line, or should I say, who has emailed us. The anonymous questioner says, it seems that we who are conservative, Bible-believing Christians can fall into one error or another when it comes to homosexuals. Sometimes we can be overly nasty and vicious, forgetting that these are lost people, and we should not necessarily automatically think that they can act and behave and think like regenerate people. But on the other end of the spectrum, we can soften the evils of this very abominable sin, and we can lead people to wrongly have confidence that they have nothing to fear about their judgment in the afterlife. So can you give us some counsel as to not fall into one end of the spectrum or the other? Yes, that's a very good question, because even those that profess to be believers in the inerrancy of Scripture and who are from traditionally conservative backgrounds, more and more there are well-respected Christians who are really becoming softer and softer on the sin. And then, of course, you have the other extreme of these horrible individuals with the Westboro Baptist Church, the God Hates Fags cult, who just delight in the destruction of the wicked. They don't want to see people come to repentance and faith in Christ. They just want to joyfully and gleefully declare to people that they're going to hell. So there obviously is a biblical truth in the middle of those extremes.
Yes. Well, the sin of homosexuality is just one of many sins. When it comes to that, the Bible clearly teaches that there's a marriage between one man and one woman, and that any other sexual union is against the Word of God, whether it be adultery, fornication, homosexuality, or whatever. And so we need to stand without apology for that, even though in our society today we are often called haters and may even find ourselves in real conflict with unrighteous laws. But the idea of attacking that we've seen in a number of ways is terrible and wrong. They are sinners just like everyone is, and like we were, and when we were brought to faith in Christ. And so we need to, the writer is exactly right, that we should not compromise at all, but then on the other hand, we need to show love for sinners just like we do any sinners.
Yeah, in fact, one of the speakers at the conference where you are on the roster at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, one of the speakers has a message I don't know the exact title I'm looking for, but it has something to do with the falsehood of being a gay Christian or something like that.
Yes, I...
That's Stephen Hamilton, I believe?
Right, right. And so there's been a real move in recent times to blur the lines. There was the Revoice conference that held, and I think it's being held again. And there's been World Magazine carried some information concerning that. And so we need to be careful that we don't go with the pressure of the times in which we live. And there's been a problem in evangelicalism in the 20th century and continuing today where they take a stand, but then when the pressure comes and they try to soften up, and we can't do that.
Yeah, in fact, I found it. It's one of the breakout sessions that Stephen Hamilton is leading, The Claim of Homosexual Celibate Christianity. This has been something that the Roman Catholic Church has been teaching for a long time, where they make the claim that as long as one is chaste, they are not sinful just for having the proclivity or the desire to commit homosexual acts. But obviously the scriptures teach something entirely different. Even the burning in your heart is a sign of judgment of God when you're burning and lusting for somebody of the same gender.
Right, as it is for someone of the opposite that gender. You know, Christ said that we break the commandment when we... And so we're all sinners, and none of us is able to come to God except through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we should not condone sin in ourselves or others, but turn to Christ for forgiveness and cleansing.
And of course, when we are seeking to be kind to those involved in this sinful activity, homosexuality, we can't soften the severity of it, and we can't even there is a repeated claim by many, even those that would consider themselves conservative, that there is no difference at all between homosexual sin and in other sins, and that is not true either. Even though all sin, no matter how light a sin we may think it is, if we're not covered with the blood of Christ, we're going to hell with that sin or for that sin. But at the same time, there are certain categories of sin that are considered an unnatural sin and an abomination that are uniquely disturbing and are in a different category, aren't they?
Yes. I don't know that I can write down a pecking order, but our confession states that all sins are not equally heinous, that there are some that are worse, but I would definitely think that any thing of that nature outside of the biblical principles of marriage is wrong, and we should condemn it while at the same time loving the sinner.
Amen. Well, I just want to make sure that our listeners have all the contact information that they need. First of all, for those of you who want to attend the conference that we have been addressing, this is the conference at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, October 22nd through the 24th. The website is accc4truth.org, accc4truth.org/2019-convention. Do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
Yes, if anybody would like to receive a free subscription to Redeeming the Time, our email address is redeemingthetime, all one word, @bellsouth.net.
That's your email address?
Yes, and they can write and request it and give their address.
Great. And I want to thank you so much for being such an excellent guest today, as I knew you would be. I want to thank everyone who took the time to write in questions today. And I hope that you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.